Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. So, welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast, episode 17. Yes, I said episode 17. Last podcast, I said episode 17. Why did I say episode 17 when this podcast is episode 17 and last podcast was episode 16? James, why did I do that?
Yeah, 16, 17. It's about as close as I could have got without being correct.
Sorry. I mean, like, it's nice when people do listen, but it's not nice when my mates message me going, what, is it 16 or 17? I think you got it wrong.
Well, they've been counting.
Yeah, well, they just... they've
got some fans.
Because it went out. It went out saying episode 16.
Okay, in that case, it was an intentional Easter egg to show that you're a true fan.
Yep.
There we go. Right, so we have some guests, which is nice because last time it was just me and James. And as James said, it was a little bit intimate. Even though it was on Zoom, he thinks it's intimate. That's how James gets intimate, clearly.
It was for me, at least.
So we have Lucy. How are you going, Lucy?
I'm very well, thank you, Gareth.
Yeah, we're all very busy at the moment, so thank you very much for making it.
I would not miss it.
Your second time on the podcast?
Yeah, it got a bit deep last time I was on, actually.
Well, let's see how deep we can go this time. Gina, how are you?
Fine, thanks. I got a chest infection.
Oh, great to know. Thank you.
The listeners need to know.
Is that how you introduce yourself at parties?
Yeah.
God knows, what number podcast is this for you?
I think it's 6.
Is it?
Yeah, we've got super fans here and here.
Wow. Okay.
Pointed at Gareth and James.
Okay, good. And his 17th episode, the editor-in-chief, a.k.a. the little chief, a.k.a. the little chef, James, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Gareth. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Thank you for asking. I'm glad someone cares. How's it been this week?
I don't, to be clear. It's just kind of what you say.
How have the stories been? We had a week off, so how have the stories been this...
Well, the stories last week were fucking brilliant, and that was the one that we had a week off for, which was a tremendous shame.
Right.
This week... they've been all right. It's a mixed bag. I've got one that I'm looking forward to, which we'll enjoy. I feel I should mention immediately that there was another good one, but you chored it for yourself, which is kind of pulling back the curtain. I know what Gareth's going to bring.
It's the best story this week.
And it's going to make it in. So, it's been all right.
Okay, so you've got two stories to impress us. Probably worth explaining, because we don't explain this too often, but James writes the cool shit blog, newsletter, experience, has many names, and has been writing it for about 2 years. It goes out every Friday where we round up the latest cool shit that's keeping us inspired. And this is our editorial meeting. So bringing it in, James, what have you got as your first story for this week's meeting?
Well, you've often said that I'm the greatest philosopher of a generation. don't disagree, you said it.
I feel like I'm the most forgetful person of a generation, because I don't remember saying that at all.
It happened, I remember it. I've brought some philosophy with me today, or some ethical conundrums to be precise. I'm going to put you all to the test and see if you're good people and if we can solve philosophy.
Okay, solve philosophy.
Are you familiar with... There's that trolley scenario that's in the kind of philosophy 101, moral philosophy 101 course, where basically you get a choice between either you can... there's 5 people tied to a train track, and there's also 1 person tied to a separate train track. You can pull a lever to kill the 1 person and save the 5, or you can do nothing and allow the 5 people to be killed.
Let the 5 people be killed.
Well, that's what we're about. That's the first one, funnily enough.
There you go.
So, okay, so I thought the way we can do
I've got a chest infection, what? Kill all 5.
and also it was the wrong answer. There's no wrong answers, but that was it.
Let me just get this right. It's a moral dilemma. Okay,
I'm sorry, I realised I should mention, actually, I haven't actually given any context to the story. There's a website called... what's it called? Absurd Trolley Problems. And they've taken that well-known scenario and kind of extrapolated it into more and more absurd scenarios, kind of making the decision more and more difficult. So it might make you question your initial opinion, which you're so forthright with, Gina.
I mean, there are questions to ask straight away, like, are these guys related? You know,
they're on a whole family, because if one's a stranger,
I'm like, save the stranger.
Gareth, perhaps we'll get to that.
Okay, sorry, James. Sorry,
I'm jumping the gun.
I've done it all myself, and then so I'm going to give you the scenarios, and then I'm going to tell you how many people agree with you. So the first one, then, the five people or the one person, what are you doing? Gina said that she's killing the five.
Yeah, I'm going to save one person. I'm always going to try and save a life, right?
You're going to save one as opposed to saving five?
Well, it's either all five die, correct, yeah, or I save one and kill four, correct?
No, you kill five or you kill one. That's the choice.
All right.
So it's already on the track heading towards five people. You can do nothing and say, hey, that's not my business, yeah, and it'll kill the five. Or you pull the lever and it kills the one and the five survive.
Got you. I kill the one.
Yeah. Lucy?
Ops.
Yeah. You save more.
Well,
save
you,
more
you,
people.
Yeah, okay.
Well, sacrifice of the few for the many.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of...
We know where... Lucy's politics lies.
That's the prevailing opinion, and it really comes down to your stance on deontology versus consequentialism. So, Gina, why don't you explain your choice?
It's not my business, so I'm not going to pull.
It is your business.
No, it's not. Why am I there? I don't know why I'm there in the first place.
You're thinking about it too much. But inaction, a lack of action is also an action.
Oh,
no.
My God. Did you do philosophy at uni? You've never mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's just not my business.
Right, okay.
So I'm not touching anything, not getting involved.
Okay, well, that kind of ruins the game. But the three of us can have fun. Okay, so moving on to the next one. Trolley's heading towards five people. You can pull the lever to divert it in the other track, but your life savings are on the other track. What do you do?
You save people.
You save people.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Save people. I mean, like, my life savings.
Gina, you're still going to...
So the trolley...
So you're still... You said it's none of your business, so you're still going to do nothing and allow five people to die for the sake
of
your life
savings. It's none
of
my business. That's my life savings. That's my business.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
So you're going to keep your life...
No, you're making me feel guilty now.
Well, don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty just because you're being a horrible person.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, a trolley's heading towards five people. You can pull the lever to divert it to the other track, but you'll sacrifice yourself. What do you do?
No way.
So this is the toughest one, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is where the ego kicks in. How many people again?
Five. It's always five.
If it's babies, then I'll sacrifice myself. If it's like older people, I don't care.
And again,
as much.
It's a question like, is it my family?
It's five strangers.
Okay, it's always five strangers. Okay.
Imagine just a normal neutral person, like they pay the taxes, but they might litter occasionally. They're just a normal person.
I don't want to be. This is. I'm gonna be that girl. I think I don't know if I could live with it. I couldn't live with it, knowing. So I think, yeah, sacrifice me for the many.
It's a really tough one. I've got a lot to live for.
Yeah. I haven't given my opinion.
There's so much going on with my life right now.
Go on, James, what's yours then?
I would absolutely kill the five people. even with the five and the one, I tried to find a way of killing both.
This is definitely deeper than the last podcast I was on. I don't know where this has gone since I've been here.
Got real deep quick.
Yeah.
Right, I'll keep going because we've got quite a few of these, so I might have to skip.
Is this
a couple.
What the whole podcast is going to be?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. A trolley's heading towards a rich man. He offers you $500,000 to pull the lever, which would divert the trolley to kill someone else. What'd you do?
No. Oh, I'd let him die.
Yeah,
I'd let him die. He sounds mean.
He wants to survive.
He's a cockroach. He's a cockroach. Let him die.
I'd take the money.
And also, you know that I'm going to come a viral superstar after you know, win loads of contracts.
Yeah.
You know,
he wants to. You'll be promoting like herbal tea on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what all saviors, like all heroes, end up.
Look at all the Love Islanders.
Fronting herbal tea campaigns. Yeah, that will be me.
This is literally going to be the next game show on TV. Surely this is all very... It feels very... You talk about... It's philosophical, right?
Yeah.
It feels very... I'm going to go back to classic nerdiness because that's my jam. But it feels very similar to that. So it's all very rhetorical. And the questions that Socrates asked weren't really about the questions. It was about the response and about how you're viewing the question being asked, and therefore it tells a story about yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Through answering these questions, because I don't think anyone's actually going to force you to do this, but you're kind of finding out where your priorities lie.
Didn't Christopher Nolan nick this for The Dark Knight, where the Joker...
Ships.
Yeah, very similar. There's two ships.
Yeah, he
does the same thing to Batman.
Well, that was actually more of a... Was that more of a prisoner's dilemma?
Yeah, because it was either the... Either or had to press the button each boat. So it was a whole group of prisoners or a whole group of just like civilians.
Yeah. I meant prisoner's dilemma as in like the technical rational choice version.
I just realised it was actually prisoners.
You're
smart ass all the time.
Right, I'll do two more quickly. Okay. Right, a trolley is heading towards your worst enemy. You can pull the lever to divert it, killing no one. No one will ever know if you killed the enemy. What do you do? Do you kill them or you let them
move?
I
don't kill my enemies because I'm too cool, man. Like whatever. Yeah. Brush it off. Like, I've got no enemies that fucking scare me. See you later. It's fine.
Peace and love.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
Ringo.
Like, no way.
And this one, the last one. Oh no, a trolley problem is playing out before you. Do you actually have a choice in this situation, or has everything been predetermined since the universe began?
Oh, ooh. My God.
Yeah, I'm going predetermined. I'm into fate.
Sorry, say that one again.
So do you actually have a choice, or is your action already predetermined? Do you have free will, essentially?
Okay, so coming onto the universe a little bit later, but according to Einstein's theory of relativity, time is already played out, right? So we do make choices, but those choices are already happened. So time is happening at the same time everywhere. It's just we experience time as human beings in a linear way because that's our way to process it, right?
Sure, but it's not even... you can.
So I kind of feel like we make choices every day, yeah?
But
those
you
choices could already... have been made whatever way we think we're making them.
In a philosophical
sense, we need to feel like we're making our own choices to have the viable viewpoint on this earth to keep on moving, keep on doing things,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, and it also allows us to apportion blame to people who do things wrong and kind of attribute our successes to our own good behaviour or whatever.
Yeah.
Because if you take free will out of the equation... then you've kind of had nothing to do with it. This got me thinking though, because we spoke about this recently, about kind of when you're trying to come up with ideas, we both said you can't control your thinking and you can't force the idea out. It suddenly just comes kind of careening into consciousness, whether you like it or not. And you do, if you kind of start to be very self-analytical, you do question whether I have... whether I have any more control over my next thought as I do over yours, or whether it just happens, it just strikes you.
Well, taking your idea of like using creative as an example, like it's pretty obvious there are an amount of creative ideas out there. It's just you get to it first. But like, we are mere mortals, and then going back to my man Einstein, like working out the theory of relativity in his head, there's not many people that can do that. Yeah,
you guys are inspired by the muses, are you not?
Exactly. I read a book called Free Will lately. It was rubbish. I thought it was meant to be about a whale.
That's Free Willy.
Ah, that's it.
Oh, that's such a shit joke.
Yeah, it was. Come out, come out.
Gloss over mine and then go
on
that.
Come out.
Unbelievable.
Okay, just to let everyone know, if that stays in, I'm really cross with Gareth.
Okay, cool. What's your next story, James? Because that's standing.
I feel like we're in a Christopher Nolan movie right now.
Yeah,
just
we are.
Talk about free will, predetermination.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like this is going to got deep last time. I feel I'm in a metaverse of a metaverse here.
Brave new world.
James, what's your second story?
Right, there's a company called Save My Ink Forever that extracts the tattoos of dead people and preserve them as framed artworks for the families of the dearly departed to keep in their homes.
Oh my God, it's disgusting. Photos. It's like...
Can I see a photo? Let's have a look at the photo.
It's like a skin of a...
It is.
Like
it's a skin. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. It's a skin of a person. Yeah.
But it's like having a leopard skin rug or something.
No, that's better. That's better.
It's the skin. So you have a... Although, actually, I'm thinking we're a tattoo-less room, I believe, aren't we?
Yeah. I know, but it's interesting because the chief creative officer of Zach has plenty of tattoos, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Mm. Some of them are good.
Feeling brave. He doesn't listen to the podcast, do you, man? No, so like it's an interesting thing to like, because we don't have tattoos, and I get it, the person is dead, so it's not their choice, right? Or it's
well, or it is.
They can decide before, right?
They say, you know, you might leave a watch or something
an
to
organ.
Someone. You can leave your putrefying flesh in a box.
No, that actually makes me feel ill. The pictures but make my skin crawl.
I agree. I thought about it. Like, you know, there is that thing of leaving something behind. And particularly tattoos, often they're meant to have some kind of real symbolic mm-hmm. significance to the person. So I wonder if it would be comforting to some strange people, presumably Wiccans.
But it's their skin.
Want to keep? Yeah, I know it's their skin.
That's like keeping someone's hand or someone's eye. Like, it's pretty gross.
I'm not denying that.
I'm really annoyed by it for some reason.
I mean, it's unconventional.
Yeah,
it is one unconventional. Word. I mean, like, look, whatever floats your boat. I think
that's exactly how I feel. My immediate reaction.
I mean,
was,
I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't want to reserve any loved ones' tattoos and get them pickled or however they're doing it. But like,
oh, it's so upsetting.
But like, I mean, like, you know. Free society, if that's what you, if that's your bag.
No, I completely agree. At first, it made my skin crawl, and then
I already said that, but you guys missed it. Now James has said it. It's funny.
Cut hers out.
Get it? Cut hers out.
But
cut
then,
oh.
For God's sake.
But then I went through a similar thought process. As I was like, if it does, there's obviously a market for it because this exists. If it does kind of bring people comfort, no matter how strange I find it, I don't go into people's homes and tell them how they should decorate it. I don't really think it's any of my business. So I'm kind of
is
like,
is it
yeah,
the same how, you know, you can turn people's ashes into jewellery?
That's okay,
yeah,
though,
similar.
I think.
Is it the same? But I think, do you know what I think their mistake is? It genuinely looks like skin.
So they've done a good job, is the problem.
It's such a good job.
Oh, is it not their actual skin?
No, yeah, no, it is. No, but no. I'm saying, but it looks so much like their actual skin. So it's impressive. You've got to respect
the
cut.
They cut it off them, though.
Yeah. They skin them. Yeah.
They skin them. That is their skin.
Yeah, it's their skin.
It's their skin, Lucy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me just make sure.
I asked you, James, earlier, and you said yes.
Because this is.
It's the way they say extract dead people's
gross.
Tattoos. It's the. I can't even talk. Yeah, no, I'm out.
It says hang in the frame of remains. Yeah, it must be real. This has been cruelly exposed here that I generally read the headline rather than the whole article, but it's definitely their real skin.
Yeah. I'll tell you what is interesting, and we've talked about this before, like this sort of like the ownership of yourself after your death. Yeah, we've talked about that a lot, and how like you, perhaps in the future, social media, you'll be able to dig into anyone's social media and go, oh, that was interesting. In the same way, when you watch the One Show, they just read out letters of like people from like World War One writing to their wives and children saying, this is the last time I'll ever see you. And it's like, yeah, fair game. Yeah, got a letter to read out, right?
I shall miss you, my sweet.
Yeah, exactly. So there is no personal once you're gone. It would be quite interesting, wouldn't it? If like, I don't know, Madame Tussauds bought a load of tattoos of famous people. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like getting famous people's tattoos to preserve. People that might go down in the pantheon of like history that are really super famous.
Like Matt Bennett.
then I guess there's a reason for it. This company, have they got clientele? Is this working?
Yeah.
People love it. But can I also just point out, this is one step away from stuffing people.
That's what I was just about to say.
But yeah. That's what I was getting
They're
to, because that's what I
people.
Want. I want to be,
that's
you know, like
you want.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know,
of course you do.
You know, like the bears that you see and like sort of like that.
Yeah.
I want to be set up in the corner, just kind of going.
Yeah. At the moment,
taxidermy.
Yeah, I want to be taxidermy.
You're a young, virile 24-year-old man, right? What about like we're going to taxidermy your 80-year-old body? That's just going to be his granddad.
James, we see you enough of your top off alive. We
Cut
don't want
out.
To see it dead.
Did you just call me virile?
He did. I'm going to pretend that he didn't say that.
Fucking hell. Thank you.
He's taking it.
That's what you should be calling the next podcast.
Okay, cool. Well, there was that story. Lucy.
No skin off my nose. There's another one.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh.
Carry on.
Lucy, do you have something to bring to the editorial meeting?
I do, yeah. So, bags. Well, I mean, I feel like we've gone straight. I've still got taxidermy in my head. But leather goods. Recycled plastic. What about a bag made of clouds?
Ooh.
Water. Wild foliage.
Oh.
But they're not physical.
Oh.
So that was good delivery. That was really good delivery.
They're selling a limited amount, like so the limited edition virtual range of their Lola handbags.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not ones that you can physically buy. So it's like, it's veering on that NFT. I mean, everything is NFT at the moment. But it's the idea, they're putting it on Roblox. No one else has done that before. Like, other luxury brands have done it. So Gucci had an event space, and then there was Gucci World on Roblox, and then you've also got sort of a few others doing it, like Ralph Lauren and Nike. But what they're doing for this, it's just, I think effectively, it's a limited amount of time, 24 hours, you can buy them and then they're gone. So it's taking supply and demand in the virtual space, and James is laughing at me.
I'm not at all. I was laughing at myself.
To the next level. So it's like limitations in the physical world that are barriers are broken in the virtual world, and only on Roblox.
Can I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I always saw Roblox as a, and that maybe is my ignorance, as a kind of junior.
Roblox, like, as a game, has some great salespeople working there, because their brand tie-ins, like, there is someone that's, like, you know, sending emails going like, hi, my name's Benjamin from Roblox. like, would you like to do a brand tie-in? Here's some examples, because they have got great examples of stuff that they've done already.
I think it is different to what everyone else is doing. It's this idea of like, yes, okay, you're taking a physical bag and you're putting it in a virtual world, and you can actually try it on and you can buy it. Something that is not attainable for the average Joe is in the virtual world. It's now that like next step up of what if physical boundaries don't exist?
Yeah,
and take your
it.
Imagination further and actually create something that is just, they're taking the kind of, they're bridging the physical and virtual world of retail in a way, because what you're doing is it's using that kind of limited edition 24 hours, get it now before it goes, but in a virtual sense when it's not real to start with.
Yeah, James, go on, you want to say something?
I'm actually not going to say what I was going to say now, but I am going to say that even though it's the first in some way, it doesn't feel very original to me. Like, you know, like you see world records where it's like the fastest man named Tim who was born on the 22nd of July and is under 5'6". It's so specific. If no one's done this before, they've done pretty bloody similar. So like, it's not like they had this incredible brainwave and it's like, digital tokens.
You then go back to what you guys are saying about how there are a limited amount of creative ideas in the world, and it's just who gets there first.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
But then it's going to look a bit naff if you don't get there first, I feel. And I'm a bit sick of NFT stuff as well.
So am I. It's boring to me now. Like, this doesn't excite me at all.
I think it'd be really interesting to see the uptake on it and where it goes with it, because
people with loads of
money, they're basically equivalent to like £9-10 when you buy it.
Oh, interesting.
That
makes me more interested, because I thought it was going to be like you pay 10 grand for it and it's just tradable or kind of thing. Like, because you know, with most NFTs, they're just buying it to flip it, essentially.
But that's what I was going to bring up, and I'm not trying to cross sell here, but our recent white paper at Zach, powered by Salford, was the next gen economy, and about how next gen are using the tools that are available to them to build a new economy, which they can create their own path from, as opposed to, you know, like the old 9 to 5. And flip culture is such a big thing at the moment, and I'm surprised that it's only that amount. I'm surprised.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's because I think you're right. We've seen already brands putting products that are physically real, putting them in the virtual space, and them going for like $4,000 or $5,000.
But I think
it's making it more accessible by having something that's not real.
Yeah, and that's the part of it I like. I like that. James is like he's shaking his head. He's very...
I've got something.
Okay, fine. I think that's like nice, because like, I think like, yeah, you're bored. You're bored of hearing about meta stories and NFTs. But we do need to keep on pushing it, because it's not going away. Perhaps, you know,
no, if I do anything
NFT
to do with it.
Will, but like, you know, a second digital life is not going away. That's here to stay. So using it to kind of think more openly about it, not things you can get in the real world recreated in digital. Actually, if there were no boundaries, what would we do? I think that opens you up to like some interesting spaces. I'm not saying that this is a brilliant execution and that I want a handbag made out of clouds. Maybe I do. Maybe I'll buy one for Nikki for Christmas. but I think it's good to start to think outside of our physical ideas of what products are and think of them on a sort of like, well, if anything was possible, what does that look like?
Yeah.
James.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, no, if they're not kind of collectibles that you flip, then it sounds even less original. It just sounds like skins that you get in like Fortnite. Like, you know, like when they had, you can buy John Wick in Fortnite. Isn't this basically just that? You get a Burberry bag in Roblox.
Yeah.
So who's to say you can't flip it? I mean, to be fair.
No, sure, but I wouldn't like it then either. So it's kind of... Well, it's a rock and hard place, I guess.
Do you not have a crypto wallet, James?
No, I don't. I don't have an actual wallet.
Yeah, nor do I.
I just jingle change around my pockets and see what comes out.
Okay, Gina, what have you got to bring to this week's editorial meeting?
Speaking of, you know, new worlds and bags made of clouds, a hamster made it through the clouds because he was launched into the stratosphere on a flying balloon.
Fucking hell.
How exciting is that, guys?
So explain to us the story in a bit more detail.
So the space I enjoyed the selling of that than the actual story. I'm into it. I'm
sweet transition.
They called him the Space Ham. He reached a maximum altitude of 14 miles, so that's 23 kilometres, and he's in good health. Before I start, he's okay. He was safely recovered from the sea, and he fell asleep on his way up, which I think is so cute.
He's okay now. Just tiny little CPR.
It was quite sweet. Like, he got there okay. Like, he even fell asleep. He, like, looked out the wind, like, his little box. He looked out the box as he was flying up. And it's basically an experiment to kind of show that at some point manned space travel will happen, but they're testing it with a hamster, basically, to make us...
Didn't we already do that?
Man, space travel is definitely a thing.
To the masses. It will become a normal thing.
Yeah, right. Again, aren't we already kind of doing that?
We can do it with actual people. We're doing it with people. There was a lady in her 80s that went up recently.
I think it's a new company. It's in Japan. It's a Japanese experiment, and they're basically just testing it with a hamster to say, guys, I hope this gives you confidence. We can do this with you because you'll be able to see the curvature of the Earth. Can people already do that?
You can see the curvature of the Earth.
I just like this story because it's a hamster in a balloon. I like it.
I don't think I do like it.
And you know what? No, you'll like the headline. It's one giant step for mankind.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I loved it.
Don't like it because it's only a half rhyme. But anyway, and also then I'll just think about ham.
Well, he was in an airtight cabin, by the way, if anyone's interested.
So what does it show? What are the outputs from it?
Yeah.
That he was okay.
Yeah, no,
he
was recovered
successfully. It is a bit crunchy.
They put a camera in there and it showed that the animal was snoozing comfortably.
What else are you going to do?
And there he is.
if this does make this into cool shit, the photo is quite amazing.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. You say
more like a gerbil than a hamster. Got to say, anyway,
it's a hamster.
It was okay afterwards. If somebody ripped you from your home and jettisoned you into space and you survived, I think you'd still have a gripe about it.
Wait a sec, you live for stories. You live for those stories where you're trying to make a plane and you lose your passport. You get ripped from your.
You get run over.
I did. We should tell the listeners. I did recently. Run over.
You get ripped from your timeline all the time to do crazy stuff, and you love it.
I don't mind. You were a hamster.
You would love it.
Not everyone's like a sort of rock and roll Vatican assassin like me.
Do you think because you've now been hit by a car, you're less interested by, like, more mad stories are no longer mad?
Yeah.
To you
well, that,
like,
that is
I
the
got
thing.
Hit by a car, so I have to in space, not bothered.
We probably need some context here. On a recent agency-wide outing, James, as he was, you know, obviously waxing lyrical to a group, walking down a road, leading
being
a pack.
His philosophical virile self.
Yeah. Got hit by a car because he had veered into the road and wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And you had, I don't know if your mum's listening, but he had a lighter in his pocket and it exploded in your pocket.
And then he pulled his pants down and we crowded round him to look at his leg.
I put my pants down, I put my trousers down. And I didn't want to do that. Miles, who works for...
Hey, Miles saved your life.
I came to my senses with everyone gathered around me and just nibbling on a protein bar with my trousers around my ankles in a bush.
I have brought a story. Hopefully you've all heard about it. It's the James Webb Telescope. Yeah. So the James Webb Telescope launched on Christmas Day 2021. I watched like a nerd. I don't love my family. I love space. Yeah, there's more important things than Santa and all of that. So it launched on Christmas Day. So it's taken taken NASA all of this time to unfurl it, unfold it, get all of the engineering right, the focus right, the exposure right. Who knows when they did it, but what they have done in this last week is they started to release pictures. And the pictures are
stunning.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
and the interesting thing about it, we had the Hubble telescope before, which went up in the 90s, which again was like an amazing thing because when you're outside of the Earth's atmosphere, you can see further. But with the infrared and the improved technology, this telescope can see back in time. It can see 13.5 billion years back in time.
It saw the hamster. It saw the hamster, guys. That's what it saw.
And the universe, as we know, according to the Big Bang Theory, is only 13.7 billion years old. So it's seeing right at the beginning of time at the moment. And the images back, it sent a picture of, you know, a couple of a dying star circling a young virile star.
Sounds like Britney Spears.
And NASA have just been releasing photos, and one that was, as far as we at the moment can go back, it will go further, but it was 13.5 billion light years away.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone? What does anyone think about that?
It blows my mind.
It's quite overwhelming.
Yeah, it is over. I feel small.
It's quite a comforting insignificance,
you
though,
feel
isn't
small,
it?
Gina. Bloody hell.
What does that mean? That I'm big.
You're such a big person.
Sorry. Yeah, true. No, it does make you feel like, why am I here?
I was wondering.
I'm okay.
I quite like that feeling. I quite like that feeling of insignificance. It puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think one of the things, and this has like been around since Hubble, but like one of the main things is just the amount of galaxies there are. The amount of galaxies is just mind blowing. We're talking about trillions of other galaxies. We live in a solar system.
Delicious.
Right? We haven't even got out of that. But there are trillions of galaxies out there, which kind of begs the question, right?
Oh, I know
what you're going to say.
No, we haven't got long left. Don't go there.
We're not alone, are we? We can't be alone.
No, I'll tell you what, actually. You know, I've been starting to think, because, you know, all of a sudden the US government are saying, oh, there's stuff that we don't recognise, actually. And they're saying, oh, we're going to look into this. That makes me think that maybe we are alone and those are actually just kind of unreleased military drones and stuff that can travel at hypersonic speeds. Because I don't think the US government cares about, like, letting the people know. We want to be an open book here. So,
it's a true point. Good point.
I'd get in quickly.
Right, okay, James, we've had a row of stories there. What has taken your fancy? I guess, like, the two stories you brought, let's vote on James's first philosophical story. Let's throw that out to us.
Yeah, I like it. I'm into it.
Oh, wow, okay.
I don't like it. It's just like, fake scenarios that you're asking us. How's that a cool story?
Interesting. I mean, yeah, I thought it was okay.
I'm angry.
I thought it was okay.
I mean, the vote means literally nothing.
He's the one that's going to put it in.
He is the little chief.
And also, because my choice is predetermined by matters beyond me anyway.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Go on. What other stories?
The taxidermy. The
tattoo story. Yeah, you're a fan, are you?
I like it. It grew on me. I just think, if people are into all sorts of weird, wild shit, who am I to judge them for it? If it brings people some comfort in their darker days, yeah, why not?
So that brings me on to Lucy's roadblock story.
Given that you're so into that, I'm surprised that the apathy towards the metaverse right now is...
Yeah,
pretty, well, it's 50-50. Got Gareth and me on one side, Gina and James on the other.
Yeah, right.
It was partly contrived because Lucy was fretting over... She sent me it earlier and said, is this a cool shit story?
You're not supposed to reveal that.
Okay, number one, you just...
So,
you just called out shit. Like,
you're a snake.
That was
What did I do? Why is that bad?
No, do you know what, though? I have the same amount... Like, literally, my palms are sweating. Like, I get the fear coming.
Knees weak.
This is cool shit, you know? This is... This is the big leagues, okay?
I don't even...
I get the fear. I'm nervous, you know? I want to be involved.
And that's why. You could have sent me literally anything and I was going to say no to it and bash it because I thought it'd be funny. So... kind of standing by my principles there.
Okay, and the hamster story.
No, I feel sorry for the hamster.
It's not about ethics and animals in space.
Everything is about ethics.
Pete, did you study philosophy at uni? I can't remember what you said.
I'm kind of still studying philosophy in my own way.
And my wonderful James Webb story.
Yeah.
Right, okay, fine. James, thank you very much for bringing your stories.
quite welcome.
They're okay this week, but as you've pointed out, we can't control what you do. Lucy, thank you very much. You're always welcome to Cool Shit. It's an open place.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Are cool as hell, just as everyone is at Zach. Bringing that on to Gina.
The coolest of the cool.
Thank you very much, Gina.
No worries.
All right. Well, it's 5:51. It's a sunny afternoon. Ooh. It's like 32 degrees outside. What are we going to do, guys?
Sweat.
Okay, let's go. Let's go sweat.